Welcome, everybody, to the R&R CatCast, a fan-based podcast focusing on Montana State athletics. We're two dudes named Ryan from the state of Washington talking about our dear Montana State. We hope you enjoy. All right, welcome back, Bobcat fans. Thanks for joining us on another episode of the R&R CatCast. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Foley. He's your host, Ryan Thornburg. We're having some fun over here. This is our instant reaction show, the R&R After Dark, as we like to call it. We're coming off the heels of a dominant win over our rivals, Montana. So we're going to get into the Cat Greatest Game. The epic game that was in Bozeman. Thorny went on a short notice, and so we're going to have some stories from him, but that will come probably on Monday. This is just our classic instant reaction show. We're going to go through the Big Sky, talk about the games, and then we'll give you the good, the okay, and I don't even know if there's anything in the bad, Thorny, but we'll try to come up with something, maybe. I don't know. Anyways, we're going to get to it. But first, how are you doing, buddy?
Well, like you said, we're having some fun. I had an extremely fun weekend in Bozeman, heading down on Friday, hanging out, going to the men's basketball game on Friday, then checking out College Game Day, and then, of course, the actual game. Man, what a weekend. What a great time to be a Bobcat. What an absolute domination in Bobcat Stadium on Saturday. Can't wait to get into that more on Monday, but yeah, I'm doing fantastic, man. I'm doing so good. How you doing?
Excellent, dude. I haven't talked to you because you've been in like this spotty cell service this whole weekend, and then you were gone and you're on the plane and whatnot. Dude, just tell me right now. I got to know. We haven't talked about this yet. What was the feeling like in Bobcat Stadium?
I mean, it started off, started off so strong. The energy was high to begin with. And then you just see the Bobcats just march right down. No problem. Running the ball. Not even a single pass. And you're thinking like, if they can't stop us, if we're running that well on the first drive, this game's over. So it was electric. People were getting into it. It was a good time, man. It was good energy, and I think the crowd really helped the team.
Excellent. It was a record-setting crowd as far as attendance goes. So you were there, man.
How do they keep setting the record?
So jealous.
They just keep like putting one person like where do they just keep finding extra seats here and there? There has to be an actual capacity at some point, right?
You would think. I don't know, man.
Moving.
But like, I think we've said it like three or four times this year.
Yeah, it's like at least the third time.
All right, man.
Still good. It's
awesome
good stuff.
News, Bobcat Nation. Yeah, for sure, dude. Montana State's at an all-time high right now. I mean, why wouldn't you want to be there? It looks electric on TV. And that's what I wanted to know. Did it feel electric? And you said yes.
Yes.
I couldn't imagine. My sister goes, she's like this, she goes to all the Cat Grizz, I feel like, or at least most of them. And most of them that she does go to, we win. So she's like this good luck charm. She was certainly there having fun. Yeah. So Sarah, compliments to you. Shout out to my sister.
I think real quick here. I think the last Cat Grizz game I went to in person was 2012, which we won in Missoula, Denarius McGee. So maybe I'm also a good luck guy.
Is that the really cold one?
It was. It was freezing.
Yeah. Got it. All right. Well, we're going to get into all things Cat Grizz mainly tomorrow. This is going to be a short episode. We are just going to put out some content. Thorny's back. He made the trip back. He's home. So we're going to do this instant reaction show. It's not quite instant. We've had a day to marinate on it. In fact, we all know that the Montana State Bobcats are the number four seed in the playoffs, but we're going to withhold our comments on that, and we'll get into that matchup in the next coming weeks. So we'll give you all that stuff coming up, but first let's go around the Big Sky, and then we will get into the good and the bad and the ugly from the Cat Grizz.
All right. Well, Idaho punches their playoff ticket with a win over their in-state rival Idaho State, 38-7. I think nobody thought that that game would go any differently, but I don't know if Idaho knew they were in the playoffs or not, but they end up getting in the playoffs due to a victory here. So good job for Jason Eck, that first-time head coach there, taking a program that's been pretty miserable and taking over the playoffs in his first year. It's pretty impressive.
Who's their quarterback?
It's like Giovanni McCoy. Is that his name?
Was he playing? Yeah.
No, there's somebody else listed here, so I don't know if he's hurt or whatever, but that's usually who their quarterback is.
Yeah, so that's interesting. Yeah, Jason Egg did an amazing job. Jack Lane was the quarterback from Idaho. I don't know what's going on with Giovanni McCoy, whether they were just probably resting him or not sure on there. That's interesting. That'd be something we need to follow up on. Yeah.
Go listen to the awesome Tubs of the Club Idaho guys. They'll tell you. Tubs of the Club. Check them out. Yeah. Idaho guys.
The surprise of the season, but not really a surprise if you saw Jason Egg and the energy he was bringing on the offseason as soon as he was hired. I knew those guys were going to get going. That's not a surprise to me, but awesome to see that. Big Sky Conference is better when Idaho is good, so that's good to see. All right. Weber State taking down Northern Arizona in a last-second field goal, 33-31 down in Flagstaff. Northern Arizona being pesky again against these top-rated teams. Weber State finishes 9-2, 6-2 in the Big Sky, and they're going into the playoffs. They punched their ticket as well, so it's a good win for Weber. Northern Arizona feels like they're kind of on a cusp of being there, but until you start winning those games, you're really not there. You're just close.
No, man, like it's kind of good to see another top team struggle in Flagstaff the way that the Bobcats did. RJ Martinez had 285 passing yards in this game and 3 touchdowns, you know, and they almost had him. And you said it was a last second field goal?
Yeah, they threw Bronson Barron threw an amazing ball to, was more of an amazing catch to Ty McPherson. And that set them up at the very end. They had like 3 seconds left and kicked a field goal to go through.
Oh, so almost exactly like the Bobcat game. Yeah. Man, it sucks to be a lumberjack. Yeah. Jeez, deja vu.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Just nightmare for them. I mean, they could have knocked off 2 top 10 teams right there. But no, it's kind of unfortunate.
All right, moving on then. I guess the battle of two teams that are very bad at football. Eastern Washington and Northern Colorado. Eastern Washington comes out on fire with a new quarterback, Visperous. I don't know how to say that guy's name, but 235 yards, 2 touchdowns as Eastern Washington cruises to a 45-21 victory in Cheney. So they end on a high note, I guess. Both teams, 3-8 and 2-6 in the Big Sky. Would you have guessed Northern Colorado and Eastern Washington would finish with identical records?
I feel a little bit bad for Gunnar Talkington. I don't know if he was hurt, but if he got replaced on the final game, that's a tough road to hoe. He spent all his time behind Vernon Adams, just waiting his turn, and then the season he actually gets to play, they just have just a trash season, and then I don't know if he got benched or if he was hurt.
I think he's got hurt.
It's a tough way to go.
I think he got hurt. I think he's a senior, though, so I think he's done.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just tough to go out that way. All right, one of the games I was interested in, all Bobcats were interested in, the Causeway Classic. Sacramento State beat UC Davis to cap off an impressive 11-0 season, 8-0 in the Big Sky, 27-21. UC Davis was driving down the field at the very end. They almost had a chance. They ran out of time. They ran a pass play that they didn't quite get out of bounds. They would have had a shot at the end zone from about the 30. Sac State made a... They had a fake kick. UC Davis held them, and then they scrambled on a fourth down and really put the heat to the Aggies there when they caught that first down, and then they went down and scored. So it's back and forth event. UC Davis is left out of the Big Sky, out of the playoffs. 6-5, 5-3 in the Big Sky. I thought they were deserving. To me, they passed the eye test more so than Montana, but. You know, it's out of my hands, but that was a tough game for the Aggies. I thought Sac State was lucky to win that one, but you know, it's not luck if they're like, what's their record over the last 2 seasons is unreal underneath Troy Taylor.
It's kind of like the Bobcats, man. You win those close games, eventually that's just kind of who you are. Like you're winning those tough games, but you're coming out on top. It's all that matters in the end.
Yep.
So another great coaching job by Troy Taylor, and the Sac State ends up with the 2 seed. So that'll be a tough matchup for whoever gets Sac State. Let's see, last one of the day. Somehow, Cal Poly puts up 49 points and beats Portland State 49-42. I don't understand. how Portland State could beat anybody. Or I'm sorry, how Cal Poly could beat anybody. But Spencer Brash, 415 yards and four touchdowns. I mean, that'll do it. That'll help.
I was looking at this game. I think that Portland State still had like 380-some yards of rushing against these guys. And so Cal Poly still wasn't tackling. But there they are. They made, I think that's their first
Big Sky
Baldwin's
win.
First, yeah, 382 yards of rushing. There it is.
How did they lose? Did they turn the ball over like 10 times?
I don't know. Yeah, they had three.
Yep, there you go. Three turnovers to zero. That's the one. Gosh.
Jeez.
Well, congratulations to Cal Poly and Bo Baldwin.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was our last Big Sky breakdown of the year. Whew. Interesting. We'll talk about the Big Sky later, but let's get into the good and the bad and the ugly for Cat Grizz, 121st yeah. edition.
Get Starting, more excited. Man, there. Get more excited. All right, man, we beat the crap out of the Grizz again in Bozeman. Two Bozeman games in a row. We have just pounded the Grizz. Like, it looks lopsided. It looks like one team doesn't even belong on the same field. And that's exactly what played out on Saturday. The Cats just took control of this one early and completely dominated. And that's my first good thing I want to put in my good category is momentum. The Cats seized it early and never let the Grizz have anything. There was a couple times where the Grizz had maybe something going a little bit, but the Cats were able to stop it. But the momentum was never in doubt. It was the Cats from the opening snap. I was surprised. I mean, I don't know. If you're a team like the Grizz who relies so much on momentum, you would almost think that they'd want to receive the ball to start off with instead of kick the ball. But they gave the Cats a chance to score first, and you know, really that was pretty much the game from that first drive. So momentum, good. My first good.
Yeah, seeing them respond after Montana went down and scored their pretty much only legitimate touchdown in the game in my book, to do what we did just back-to-back, just march down another 80-yard drive was unreal. We had more rushing yards in the first drive than we had the whole game in the previous years. And I just knew we were not going to be stopped at that point. It was, I mean, I get all nervous during these games, and that's well cataloged, but there was something special about this game. You know, I want to give props to, in the good category, to Coach Vegan. I think this absolutely affirms Vegan as an absolute stud coach. And I think we all knew that. I mean, I was on our show last week saying, I don't know, there's still something I hold out. And we talked to Colter Nuanez and about this game.
Let it go,
and
man.
How this could, yeah, just color, as Colter said, does this this game colors his reputation. And man, I love it. Coach Vegan and company stomped them. Not only that, when you watch Coach Vegan in the press conference afterwards, he is just Mr. Cool. He's not, I mean, the players even that we bring up to the podium, they're like expected to win.
Exactly.
You know? It wasn't, I mean, they're smoking cigars in the locker room. They're having a good time, but it's just a different feel, man. It's more like, it's just elevated. That's a good term for it. It's just an elevated experience underneath Vegan.
Yeah, it's like everything. It's not all about this game. It's very important, and Vegan knows that, but it's all just one piece in a bigger puzzle that he's working on, and it's something they expected to do, and they executed how they planned on it. I mean, they're just like, that was just we did what I thought we were going to do kind of after post-game stuff there. So that was really, really good to see. Man.
And it's different from the energy that Choate brought. It's different from the energy Ash brought. Ash was so different than Choate, and Choate's so different from Vegan. But Vegan is just, gosh, he's like a ninja at this. It's weird to see him go about his business because he still doesn't give the media and the fans a lot. He's just like that Midwestern nice, like you say. But he's just so calculated and good at what he does. It's so inspiring, man. So, yeah. It's hard to quantify how, or not qualify how I feel about Coach Vegan, but I'm super impressed with him.
All right, without too much discussion on this, because we're trying to keep this podcast short, buy or sell Brent Vegan, Big Sky Coach of the Year?
trying to be objective on this one, and not just be a Cap fan. I mean, Troy Taylor doing the thing he did back-to-back years is really impressive. Jason Neck taking Idaho from the dregs to the playoffs is equally impressive. No, wrong. Taylor's more impressive than Eck. It's got to be between Taylor and Coach Vegan. It's probably going to go to Troy Taylor for doing the back-to-back.
I could see that, but depending on what poll you're looking at, Sac State was picked third in the media, second in the coaches' poll. So, I mean, they did kind of what you expected to. I don't know, with just how much with the Bobcats lost and all the injuries that the Cats dealt with all year long, it just seems like he has to be in consideration. But, yeah, I'll say it's probably go with Troy Taylor, if I had to guess, because that's just kind of how it goes. He's also very deserving. All right, let's keep
that being said. I do think Coach Vegan outlasts Troy Taylor in the postseason.
Yeah, well, that's quite possible. There's one thing that Vegan's already proven he can do, and Troy Taylor is 0-2. And so it's hard. It's hard to learn how to win in the postseason. That's like the next step of a program. It's hard.
All right,
run the damn ball. That's in my good category. Holy cow, that offensive line. The blocking, the running, Sean Chambers back, just the running game was just working, man. Like, what did we end up with? How many total yards was that?
ESPN says 439.
439 rushing yards, 6.8 yards per carry, which is above our season average. The Grizz were only allowing like 90 rushing yards a game or something, and the Bobcats had, I think, 150 on their first two drives, because both their drives started at the 25 and they didn't pass the ball. So I think they had 150 yards on the first two drives in the first quarter. Unreal.
You said 225 last week.
Yeah, that's what that was my number. And if we have a chance to win, and who knows if we would have only gotten 225, maybe we win this game close. But 439, you're going to win almost every football game you ever play if you rush for 439 yards.
Unreal. It's just, there's no words to put in how beautiful our run game is. It is just gorgeous. How we execute it, what we do, how many different guys we run. It's so beautiful, man. It really is.
No, like in all the Cat Grizz victories in the last 5 years or five matchups with the COVID year not being counted, the Cats have rushed the ball for like 390, 400 yards a game. When they beat the Grizz, it's because we run the ball. And then you and I talked about it on the podcast, like, how do the Bobcats win this game? You just do what you do. We are the better team. Yep. You don't need to change things up to try and trick them or whatever. Do what you do, and holy crap, we did.
I loved watching the line, too. Those guys were ferocious. They had some nasty attitudes to them. JT Reed, Omar Abedidion.
I think it's Abedion.
Abedion. There it is. Oh, who is John with Halk? Rush Reimer. Him and Halk. Him and little Robbie were going at it all game. It was fun to watch. Yeah.
It was. Anyways. It was fun watching Robbie Halk not have a very good football game. Like, I don't feel too bad. Like, I don't usually like calling anyone out, but Robbie Halk kind of just gets under my skin. So it was good seeing him kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, he got pancaked on a block like once or twice. I know Derek Snell completely put him on his butt. He whiffed on multiple tackles. So that was good. It was good to see. I enjoyed that. Had a little extra bonus in the win. I think most Cat fans feel the same way.
Yeah. I think I'm going to say one more thing for the good. I mean, there's plenty, but there's probably 20 to 30 things we could like parse out from this game that are good, but one big one for me, and one thing we'll probably talk at length tomorrow, is just a landmark day it was for Montana State, with College Game Day being there, rising to the occasion, destroying the Grizzlies. It just feels that this is kind of a watershed moment for our program, for the university. To boot, our basketball team won that night, and you know, the Grizzlies basketball team lost that night. It was just like, if you just look at the programs on that day, Montana State just kicked ass in so many different ways, and it just kind of affirms that we are just kind of at a new level right now. To me, it feels like Montana State is just an unstoppable force. as a university and athletic department right now. Just, you know, congratulations, Leon Costell. Congratulations, Wadad Cruzado.
Yep.
Coach Vegan and company, the players. It's a really impressive thing to watch. And as an alumni, you make me very proud. So thank you.
Absolutely. We have like three great coaches in the three kind of main sports there. They're all really great, classy people. Danny Sprinkle, Trisha Binford, and Brent Vegan. It is just rolling right now at Montana State. Huge kudos to everyone involved with that. Like you're saying, man, it was just what a great time to be a Bobcat. And Saturday may have been like the single best Bobcat weekend that I have at least personally attended. It was fantastic. And just, well, yeah, you said it best, man. You said it.
Anything else you can put in the good?
College game day. I just don't want to talk too much about it, but that's pretty awesome having it there. Pretty awesome being a part of that, walking around and checking that out and the energy down there and seeing like all those kind of famous people that you know of on a little stage crafted. That was really cool. It was really cool.
You mentioned the defense as well. I had three turnovers.
I'd put them in the good category, man. Like we held like all week long, I'm like, if Lucas Johnson plays, that kind of changes this game. And he played, and he was only 14-23 for 137 yards, one touchdown and one interception. I thought the defense played pretty good for them. I mean, honestly, they had a good game probably in general, but you know, they played well, and I put them in the good category. And there's not too many times this year that we've been able to do that.
Yeah, you know, at the very end, I think we were playing some base defense. We weren't doing anything, and we had a lot of young guys in there. Daniel Britt was able to scramble around and take care of some just like open spaces. He did have some nice passes, and so if we were going to have a little critique on the defense, maybe in the okay category, or if you want to put it bad, it was that at the end, but it's hard to even put that into the bad category because of this, like, it was just garbage time at that point.
Maybe put it in the okay category. I don't know. I don't think there's a single bad thing from Saturday. Nothing.
Yeah. All right.
It's all coming up.
Cool. Cats up.
Don't.
All right. No. Well.
Stingers up.
No, I was going to say it.
Well, like you said, there's a ton more we're going to talk about this. We have so much to unpack. We wanted to just kind of do our quick little hitter instant reaction show that we do on Saturdays. We've been pretty inconsistent with this season. We do apologize for that, but you and I have just had stuff going on Saturday nights. Who would ever think, right? We do stuff sometimes besides podcasts and watch Bobcat football. Not too much, but is there anything else you want to put any finishing touches on this historic landmark victory? Because I have so much left to say, but we got to kind of just cut off at some point. But anything, last parting thoughts that kind of fit in the narrative that we're talking here?
No, we'll just think about it for Monday. I know I just can't wait to spend maybe a good hour just marinating in this win and talking with it, talking to you about it. And I don't know, previewing the playoffs, man, I'm ready for it. But yeah, I want to keep thinking about this win for a little bit more.
Exactly. That's what's so cool about having like a bye week. You just get to sit here and just enjoy this for a long. We won't have an opponent, so this is all we have to think about. All we get to think about is this victory, this historic butt whipping in Bozeman, a whoop down, as the R&R Catcast original, another whoop down. All right, well, I guess thanks everyone for listening. You can shoot us some questions if you want to, comments or questions or anything that you want us to talk about or answer pertaining to this game or the playoffs or whatever else. Get that over to us. We'll record on Monday. This should be released Sunday night, so you should have time to get that over to us. You can shoot them over on Twitter, Bobcat Nation, email rrcatcast@gmail.com, or Instagram, anywhere you find us, we'll respond. We'll get your question answered. Other than that, man, I think that's all I really got to say here. This was an amazing weekend. I'm so proud to be a Bobcat. Go Cats.
Go Cats.
Go Cats.